2 Corinthians chapter 4. Praise God. We're going to begin reading at verse number 6. The Bible says, "For God who commandeth the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, and not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies." Amen. Now there's two phrases, and I want to reread here today to take us into our subject this morning. Verse number 8, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed." Verse number 10, "That the life also of Jesus Christ might be made manifest in our bodies." Praise God. And I simply want to talk to you this morning about troubles. Amen. Troubles. Praise God. Let's ask the Lord to help us here today. Father, we love you and we need you this morning. Lord Jesus, without you, we're in a world of hurt. Lord, and I pray, God, that you would help us this morning. The name of Jesus, touch my body, God. Touch my body, God. In the name of Jesus, give me the strength that I need, Lord Jesus. The strength that I need, Lord. In the name of Jesus. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated this morning. Amen. In the current world that we live in, it's not a matter of if trouble is going to come our ways, but, and I'm not going to say it's a matter of when trouble comes our way. I'm going to say that it is rather how we respond to the trouble when it does come our way. Praise God. Amen. Trouble is nothing new to humanity. It's nothing new to the spiritual world. Amen. Trouble has been since the beginning. If I read my Bible correctly, I would say that there was trouble in heaven when Lucifer was able to persuade a third of the angels to side with him. That was trouble. And we saw trouble even into the Garden of Eden when Eve was there and she was troubled by the serpent. And then she got into trouble as she partook of the forbidden fruit. Amen. And so we know and recognize today that the common denominator in all of trouble is the enemy of our soul. Amen. The spiritual one that desires that we would be lost, that we would not be able to make heaven our home. And so he specializes in trouble. And so this morning I just want to take you through a little bit of Corinthians and the mindset that is in the Corinthians. We're going to talk about both of the books, both of the epistles here today. But I want to bring a mindset that Paul had upon him as he began to write and began to deal with the Corinthians. Amen. Now, Corinth was a church that Paul had founded in his second missionary journey. And sometime or another after that it was founded, there was an individual by the name of Apollos that had come to Corinth from Ephesus, and he made a very deep impression upon the believers there. And it was due to his eloquence and his excellence in speech. And then sometime after that, there was a party of Judaizers who appeared. And soon after that, there were factions or there were divisions that was in and upon that church. And so Paul began to deal with these through his writings unto the church and begins to write there in 1 Corinthians. And in dealing with the Corinthians, he issues and puts forth strong rebukes, addressing himself to their questions and unto their quarrels, for it was a church that was full of problems. And when we take a look at the book of 1 Corinthians, we note that it is an important treatise on order in that church. He was setting some things in order and trying to bring mindsets that were godly and spiritual. One of the things that was there that we know about more than any would be the issue with a man and my mind just skipped me right there, just like that. Praise God. Incestuous. Amen. Incestion that was in the church. And it was allowed to continue. And so Paul, writing, begins to deal with these things in strong rebuke. And he begins to tell them that, look, I don't even know the situation. Don't have to know all the details about it. I'm just telling you that I have already judged it. And this is what needs to be done. You need to put out the fornicator. And so he writes a letter that in reality is very scalding. It is of strong rebuke unto the Corinthians, trying to get them to straighten up. And in this, with the dealings with Apollos and the dealings with all of the other individuals and churches and the faction, the division that was there, there was the part that they had, even though Paul had started the church, there was the issue that there was a minority that had begun to gossip and began to speak behind the backs of others and trying to create trouble and trying to in the division, trying to separate the authority of Paul's apostleship from the church. Amen. Don't worry about what Paul says. They were degrading Paul's authority, his apostleship that was there. And Paul did not have time to go back to Corinth for a second time, dealing with other issues and troubles that were about them. But nevertheless, the Holy Ghost began to move upon Paul, and he began to write a divinely inspired epistle that we call 1 Corinthians. And he sent it with a young man by the name of Titus. And he told Titus, he said, deliver this and read it to them. And then there are some things that you're going to have to deal with. Let them know. And so there's Titus reading about Paul's decision concerning the incest that was in the church and all of the other things that was there. And Paul was stating, this is what's got to be done. And at the same time, there were those, amen, that had crossed their arms and were huffing and puffing, filing their fingernails, squirming in their seats while Titus read the epistle unto the church and dealing with it. But at the same time, there was an apostle that was back at a different place, wringing his hands, amen, wondering how that the Corinthians were going to receive the letter that he had sent unto them. Nervousness, tensions, anxieties, amen, was about Paul concerning the Corinthian church. All the while, there are troubles that are about him. Amen. While there is the vocal minority stirring up trouble against Paul in Corinth, challenging his apostleship in a slanderous manner. And when you begin to go through the Corinthians there, you begin to see that they had accused him of being fickle, of being proud, of being boastful, amen, weak, and of a displeasing personal appearance. They accused him of dishonesty. They accused him of even being practically insane. And these accusations and allegations that were falsely put upon Paul has got
to weigh upon him. Amen. And not being able to go and to represent himself. Not being able to go and to set things straight. Amen. He is hearing of these things. Word of mouth has filtered back down to Paul. Amen. Of talking about how the dissension is there. And the people are trying to gain popularity and movement to push Pastor Paul or the Apostle Paul down into his place. And Paul is just prayerfully hoping that this letter and Titus is going to be able to spare the church. Paul understands that the enemy of the church, amen, that venomous snake has stuck its fangs inside the church and causing the poison of gossip to go through that place. Amen. And Paul knows that the life of the church is going to be based upon what happens in the near future. And so with this in mind, Paul from Ephesus, amen, writes his epistle to Corinth, sending it with Titus there. Amen. And then he begins to write the second epistle, being anxious of how that the Corinthians are going to receive the first and to receive Titus. Paul begins to make his way to Corinth. But in the way and on the way to Corinth, there is a troubled area called Troas. And there in Troas, Paul is dealing with troubles. And while there, Titus does not return. And so the anxiety gets the best of Paul, and he begins to make his way towards Macedonia. For it is known that in Macedonia there are troubles and issues, and Paul has got to go there to try to help and to fix, all the while wondering what is going on in Corinth. Through all of this, the stress that is upon Paul, amen, has and is affecting him. His mind is not fully where it needs to be. One, because of the love that he has for the church that he started. Two, because of the love that he has for the young minister by the name of Titus and how that they are receiving and treating him. And so while Paul is waiting for word, he deals with the quarreling and the strife that is in Macedonia. Amen. And then comes forth Titus. And so when you begin to look at this from the contextual view, there is an enlightenment that comes upon the reader concerning the complexities and the anxieties that Paul would feel and would deal with. You say, not Apostle Paul. Amen. Just read his writings. Amen. You will see where in 1 Corinthians, you will see where Paul put his foot down. Amen. And he said, look, this is what's got to happen. Amen. He put order into that church. But when you read 2 Corinthians, you see and read of a different Paul. You begin to feel the personality of Paul. You begin to feel the sentimental feelings of Paul, amen, in the way that he had to deal with these things. He was troubled on every side, amen, yet he was not speaking or writing without the knowledge, amen, coming forth. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 7 and verses 5 through 10, we read, for when we were come, now this is after that Titus has brought back word unto Paul, and Paul is writing a new epistle unto the Corinthians, or a new letter to them, and you see the difference of language that is upon Paul here. And we skip to verse chapter number 7, and he said that when we were come to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, and within were fears. Nevertheless, bless God, that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. This is where Titus appears back to him, and Paul is dealing with fightings and fears and turmoils and commotions there in Macedonia. And he said, and not by his own coming only, but here's what gave Paul joy. He said, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. When he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind towards me, so that I rejoice the more. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were for a season. Now I rejoice that you were not, that you were made sorry, but not that you sorry to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. And so Paul is unbearing his heart. Amen. He is taking off the weight of his heart. Amen. That when Titus came back and said, Paul, I read your letter to them, and in that letter I saw tears began to flow down their eyes. And I saw as they responded in the altars and how that they mourned, amen, for their actions. Amen. He said, I saw that you had a fervent mind towards me. Tell Paul when you see him next. Tell Paul I'm praying for him. Tell Paul that whatever consternation that he has felt because of us, we deeply are sorrow for it and we apologize for that. Tell Paul that we put the fornicator out of the church and he is greatly sorrowful. Amen. And he wants to come back. But without Paul's word, we don't know what to do. We realize the shape that we were in. We realize that we were troubled all about. Amen. There was Apollos speaking eloquent words. There were these that was bidding us to come here. There were turmoils and troubles. There were stirring of strifes. There were divisions that was amongst us. And we were without way. We had no idea what to do. But thank God that Paul wrote to us. And he made the way plain unto us. And because of it, we had wept and cried, and we have repented. And Titus says, Paul, I watched them. I watched as their tears came and fell at puddles upon the altars there. Amen. And so Paul, writing back to the Corinthians, he said, I'm so happy, amen, that you're not against me and that your love for me is shown. And he said, you know what? I was kind of sorrowful that I wrote you that letter, that scalding letter that I wrote you. Amen. And I understand that it made you sorry. And I made you sorry with that letter. He said, but I'm not sorry because of that. You needed that rebuke. You needed that stern word. Amen. To shock you back in to the way. Amen. You needed that strong. And even though I wept in writing it, you had to have it to straighten you up. You need to be told what was right and what was wrong. You needed to set some things in order. You needed to repent. And I'm not sorry that I wrote it unto you because you did repent. And I am so happy that you were made sorry. Not that you were sorry, but that you sorrowed unto repentance. Amen. You were sorry after a godly matter. Amen. For godly sorrow worketh unto repentance to salvation. Not to be repented of. Amen. But the sorrow of the world worketh repentance. And so Paul lets us know that he himself, even as a minister of the gospel, was not exempt from troubles. As he writes unto the Corinthian church, as they explain to him, Paul, we were surrounded by trouble. And Paul writes back and he said, look, we're all surrounded by trouble. He let them know in chapter number 11, he said, I am in labors more abundant. I've had stripes placed upon my back above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeys, often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, my own countrymen in perils by the heathen, in perils in the cities, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the seas, in perils among false brethren, in weakness and in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and in thirst, in fastings often, amen, in the cold and in nakedness, beside all these things that are without. Out that which cometh upon me daily, the cares of all the churches. He said, we are oftentimes in trouble, surrounded by trouble. Trouble just seems to gravitate towards us. Amen. Trouble just seems to come all about us. Don't think that you're some kind of spiritual individual because, amen, that you've got trouble, or not spiritual because you've got trouble. It rains on the just and the unjust the same. We've all got troubles. Hallelujah. Amen. As he penned to them and told them, we are troubled on every side, yet not in distress. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I can believe that Peter getting word back at some point in time of the troubles and the despair that Paul was going through would be able to stand and testify and say, I've been through some of the same things. For it was Jesus that looked at me and said, Peter, amen, Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith faileth not. And when you are converted, or in other words, when you've come through the trouble, amen, when the desire of the troublemaker is over and he hasn't won, amen, I want you to strengthen your brethren who are also in troubles, amen. Peter would write with revelation later on when he said, know this, your adversary as a lion, a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Be sober and be vigilant that you can overcome it. He goes on to say, resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same trouble, the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. It's everywhere. It's all over the place. There's trouble that is all about us. Amen. He said, the God of grace, who had called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered for a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, amen, and settle you. To him be the glory, the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Paul was saying, we've got trouble. Peter was saying, we've got trouble. But Paul said, when it's over, God is going to be magnified. And Peter said, when it's over, let God be magnified in it all. Let's love him today. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. Jesus experienced trouble. His life was a life full of trouble. Amen. Led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days. Amen. On a 40-day fast. And when he comes off of that 40-day fast before breaking it, there's the devil with a few final temptations. I believe that through 40 days of fasting, he was tempted oftentimes. But there at the end, amen, trouble all about him. Satan begins to present himself. And the troublemaker said, if thou be the Son of God, then command these stones to be made unto bread. You're hungry. I'm not giving in to trouble. If you be God, amen, then bow down and worship me. I'm not giving in to trouble. Amen. And he overcame trouble by the word of God. Hallelujah. Thank God for his word. through his entire life, he was troubled on every hand. He was opposed by the Jews. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. They threatened to stone him. They threatened to kill him. Amen. They had false accusations against him. Put him in a court. Amen. Where he had no hope of winning. He was troubled on every side. But when he came through, we see that the God of glory is magnified. And the church that would be troubled in the future would be birthed through the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, thank the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. You can be seated. Like the old song that I've sang before says, and some things never change. Some things never change. Hallelujah. The church was born in adversity, and it still exists in adversity. And just as Peter and Paul went through troubles, and Jesus Christ himself faced troubles, there's not a person under the sound of my voice this morning that's not facing troubles. Troubles on every hand. Troubles surrounding us. Troubles threatening us. Troubles promising us to meet in the distant and in the near future. But it seems like no matter what we do, troubles persist. I'm here to tell you, saint of God, don't be weary in well-doing. For in due season you'll reap if you faint not. Hallelujah. Though weeping may endure for a moment, joy still comes in the morning time. Don't expect glory on this side, amen, of heaven. Amen. If you just expect it to happen on the other side, you won't walk away disappointed. And I know that not every day, amen, is hardships. And not every day seems to be full of trouble. But that's what I've come to preach to you today. Amen. The word of God that Paul had as he was writing things. I believe that Paul had a revelation. And even though that he did not quote the scriptures, I believe that Paul was a scriptural man. Amen. There are times that he did quote scriptures. But in this particular instance, we do not find him, amen, bringing scriptures unto light, but the principle of revelation is there, amen. Why, Paul, can you say after everything that you have been through, after the stripes and the beatings and the shipwrecks and the robberies and in being in perils even among your own brethren, how can you say we are troubled on every side yet not in distress? Paul would be able to answer and say, amen, that it rains on the just and the unjust. David himself even said, my steps had well nigh slipped when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, but I understood that they've got trouble too, amen, and I only understood it when I came into the house of God. Don't stay home and sing a little pity party. Don't stay home and feel sorry for yourself. Don't stay home and eat worms. Amen and fear. Amen and say, nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Amen. That's what happens when you stay home. Amen. You get into this quandary. Amen. And your troubles seem to overwhelm you. But when you walk into the sanctuary, when you walk into the congregation of the righteous, when you walk into the presence of God, it seems like troubles began to melt. And David said, oh yeah, I almost stayed home. But thank God when I came to the house of God, I realized that the unrighteous has got a whole lot more trouble than I've got. I've got hope. I've got joy. I've got a promise made. I'm looking. I'm reaching. I've got a God that is able. David went on to say and said, our God is a refuge, a present help in the time of trouble. Present help in the time of trouble. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so Paul, writing here in 2 Corinthians 4, he said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Not distressed. The Amplified Version says, we are hedged in, pressed on every side, troubled and oppressed in every way, but we're not cramped, we're not crushed. We suffer embarrassments and are perplexed and unable to find a way out, but we are not driven to despair. Hallelujah. Paul said, we're not distressed. In other words, Paul is saying, though I am troubled, I'm not distressed. He says, though I am crowded in such an area, yet I am not unable to express myself. I pray somebody could get this revelation here today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul said, we got troubles on every side. Everywhere I look, I got troubles. Come on, Brother Josh. Come on, Brother Hunter, Brother Isaac. Come on, Brother Mike, Marcus. Mike, you can come too. Just surround me, all right? We got troubles on every side. Now, when troubles seem to step in on us, it feels like you can't do anything. You don't have anywhere to go. There's nothing that you can do. But Paul said, even though I am troubled on every side, I'm not distressed. Step back. Step back. Go ahead, get up there. He said, I'm not distressed. I got problems all about me, but I'm not in a place that I can't express myself. It's not so bad that I can't see the goodness of God. It's not so bad that I can't cry out to God and say, oh God, I know that you know where I am. My troubles aren't hiding me. My troubles aren't pressing me to a place that God doesn't know where I am. But my troubles have got to stay a safe distance away from me. Why? Because I've got a God. I've got a God that says, devil, you can get so close, you can get closer, but you can't get that close. Devil, you can come down and you can do this, but you cannot do that. Devil, you may be able to touch, but you cannot destroy. You may be able to cause trouble, but you will not distress them. They will have a voice, and they have an opportunity to lift that voice and to cry out. And when they cry, I'm as close as the mention of my name. You're not going to overwhelm them and cause them to feel like they don't have a way out. I will hear them, and I will be with them even until the end of the earth. Let's stand and love him today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Towards the end of Paul's letter in Corinth, 2 Corinthians, he lets us know that troubles don't just stop. But as the mercies of God are new every morning, troubles seem to be brewing newly every day. He warns about another gospel in chapter number 11 and not giving heed to that. And then he even says that there was a thorn that was given unto me in the flesh. Trouble. Trouble. He said, and I cried out for deliverance 3 times that God would come through. But God said, oh, God said, this is from the Cowan Amplified Translation. God says, it's going to be okay. I know where you are. Paul said, I got this thorn
I got this thing that troubles me all the time. God, would you deliver me? God, would you set me free from it? God, I know that you're able. I know that you can. And God says, it's going to be okay. I know where you are. I'm not going to let the devil overpower you. And as long as that thorn is there, you're going to keep trusting and depending upon me. I'm not going to let it kill you. I'm not going to let it overwhelm you. I'm not going to let it swamp you down. I'm not going to let it overcome you to the place that you feel like my only hope, my only option is just to give in and to walk out. No, 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 no. My grace is sufficient for you. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities than the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmity and reproaches, in necessities and persecution and distresses, or in other words, in troubles. For Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. You see, child of God, you're wondering what all this is going on and what all this is about. And the answer is simple. He's working it all for His good. These trials that come are to make you strong, though you don't see how they can. And when you may not understand, you can place it all in His hand because He's working everything for your good. Preacher, the problems that I've got upon myself today, I just don't know what I'm going to do. Draw near. Draw near. He's causing the troubles to step back. And you can cry out to Him. He's just and able to forgive, but He also says, I'm as close as the mention of my name. You're not so alone. You're not so beaten down. You're not so hedged in. I'm still God, and I'm still in control. And so Paul can write and he can say, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. And all of this is so that the life also of Jesus Christ might be made manifest in our body. Brother Joshua, I don't know how you come through it, they would say. You say, I do. I've got a God. And the God that's brought me through, He can bring you through. Can bring you through. Sister Pam, when they come to you saying, I just don't understand how you can be, you say, I've got a God. I got troubles like you have troubles. But God causes my troubles to step back. I'm not distressed. I'm not overwhelmed. He can hear my voice. He can hear my voice. Every child of God in here, you got troubles, but you're not distressed. Hallelujah. These altars are open here today. It's not necessarily that you have to come pray through. Paul said, I'm not sorry that I made you sorry unto repentance. But look at what you know now. God loves you. God loves you. And so this morning you can come to an altar. And you can thank God for His faithfulness. You can thank God for His assurities. And the devil wants to overwhelm you. press you down and cause you to feel like there is no hope. But today, somewhere back in the early beginning of years, Paul says, hey, we've all got troubles, but we're not overwhelmed by them. We're not overcome by them. God is faithful. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of troubles. A very present help in the time of troubles. Come on, child of God, cast all of your cares upon Him. Cast all of your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. A caring God knows where you are. A caring God sees what you have. A caring God sees what you don't have. A caring God sees the outcome from the onset. A loving God comes to our aid. A loving God may say, hey, may not turn out like you hope and like you want it to turn out. Nevertheless, my grace is sufficient. And Paul would say, when I am weak, then I am strong. God, I feel like I don't have any control. Everything is out of my control, oh God. God says that's the way that I'm going to get the glory. Hallelujah.